We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
You know, that's all those songs. All those songs. His grace is sufficient. His grace is more. His grace is powerful. His grace covers. His grace covers our multitude of sin. But you know, and it's crazy. I sit back there and listen to all that, and he don't know what I'm preaching. I don't know what he's singing, kind of thing. I try not to pay attention. So let's just let the Holy Spirit move. It works. Trust me, it works. But I'm thinking about this morning. I'm thinking about what we're going into, the text. But you know what we see is our sin. We see our sin. We know His grace is sufficient. We know His grace is more. His mercy is more. We know His goodness is more. But what we see is our sin. And what we're reminded of by the enemy over and over and over and over is our sin. Our mess ups, our mistakes. And if we're not careful, church, we will allow that awareness of our own sin and our own disobedience, we will allow that to somehow, even though it's not true, it's a lie of the devil, we will think for some reason that we're disqualified because of the sin that we have in our lives, the sin that we see. Because, you know, the words I often use is lie, cheat, steal. But honestly, don't you wish it was that simple? Sin sometimes is not a little white lie. Sin's not always stealing that little piece of candy or that gym clip. You know, those examples that we use are very little. Like, have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? Have you ever taken a piece of paper? Have you ever taken a pencil out of the classroom or off the teacher's desk? And we're like, I did that. Well, you're a sinner. And you're thinking in the back of your mind, yeah, I wish it was just that simple. And since we know our sins, since we are very aware of our sin, we think that, yeah, but mine is really bad. But His grace is really big. His mercy is really big. This morning, that's really what I want you to see. I just want you to see what He sung. I just want you to see it from an example in Scripture. When I go there, you'll know it. You're not disqualified. God's not done with you. I had a funeral yesterday. Bill's sister, Miss Cynthia Kemp's mother, 88 years old, God took her home. She's finished. She ran her race. She's gone home. You're not done yet. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. His grace is sufficient. His mercy is more. He covers it. Christ's death on the cross is sufficient enough to cover your sin. Christ's death on the cross, He knew. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He knows. He knew before He saved you what you would do. And He still died for you. He still drew you to Himself. He is sufficient. This past Wednesday night, we talked about King Solomon. King Solomon had heard from his daddy, David, time and time again, probably the stories of God's mercy. He had probably heard how he had messed up. And we talked about how none of us in this room should think that we're not capable of sinning, because I think we're all really aware of our sin. Bible says if you say you're not sinning, then you're a liar, because God tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all mess up. We all do more. Here's the deal. And this is where I go there. I always say, we all lie, cheat, steal. And you're like, yeah, but it's a lot worse than that. I know that. He knows that. And steal He saved us. Look with me. Look with me. We're going to be looking at David and Bathsheba briefly. But I want you to see around it. I want you to, you know the story. I'm not even going to read the whole story. I'm going to point to it, talk about it. But go over to 1 Kings chapter 15. You know, God still used David. David was still a man after God's own heart. As you're turning there, listen to what they say over. Listen to what Paul says on his first missionary journey about David. Then they asked for a king, and God gave him Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he had also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. David was a man after God's own heart, but David messed up. Scripture says here, look at 1 Kings chapter 15. Begin here in verse 1. Begin in verse 1. Look at how it says. This is when they're bringing in kings, and some do evil and some do good. You know, when you read Old Testament, how Old Testament, the Israelites, they were ups and downs. They were just constantly. It's just back and forth, like ping pong. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became the king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother named was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had committed before him. And his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord, like the heart of his father David. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and had turned aside from anything that he commanded, and turned aside from anything he commanded him all the days of his life. Notice this, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. God knows it. God sees it, but it did not disqualify him. God didn't die. God didn't kill him. God didn't cast him away. No, he was his chosen vessel. He was his instrument for that season. For all those years to lead, King David was exactly who God had in store, in plan. That was God's man for the job. He was a man after God's own heart. And the scripture even says, except for that situation with Uriah the Hittite and his wife, Bathsheba. It was a big one. It was a big one. And there's not a one of us in this room that hasn't had a big one. We've had a big one. Look over there with me. Look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, I love how it starts. 2 Samuel, beginning in chapter 11, then it happened. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? You've been there? We've all been there. Then it happened. You just left church. You had sang praises. You had just talked about how his mercy is more. His grace is big. God is so good. And you went out on top of the world, and then it happened. I want you to hear something this morning. You're still here. You're still here. God's not done. He hadn't taken you home yet. He's not finished with you yet. He's still working in and through you. We talked last week about if the Spirit is in you, you hear something different. If you're a Christian this morning, the Spirit's in you. And I want you to be hearing that God's not done with you. Because the reality is, and I'm telling you, it's real for all of us, then it happened. You know the story. Everybody else was where they were supposed to be, and David wasn't. Then it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle. That's where everybody else was. And David stayed back. That's when it happened. David wasn't where we were supposed to be. We find ourselves at times where we shouldn't be. We know we shouldn't be there. We know we shouldn't be in that group. We know we shouldn't be in that room. We know we shouldn't be around that people. We know we should have been somewhere else. And everything going on in our lives, the Spirit of God said, hey, this ain't you. You shouldn't be here. You're even sick for being there. And yet everybody else is going. Everybody else is going to be there. Come on. We're all going. We're going to have a blast. And then it happens. David wasn't where he's supposed to be. Keep reading. Look on down. And when evening came, verse 2, now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on his roof in the king's house. He shouldn't have been there. He should have been out fighting with everybody else. But David's not where he's supposed to be. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. Nothing is wrong with that. Back to Adam and Eve. Adam sees Eve for the very first time. He's like, whoa, man. Beautiful in appearance. Nothing's wrong with that. But notice this. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? That's it. Close your Bible. Conversation's over, right? Conversation's over. That's it. Stop sign. Don't go no further. It's not yours. It's not yours to touch. It's not yours to talk to. It's not yours to be a part of. You ever been there? We all mess up. David should have been like, oh, well. Off to bed. Then it happens. You're not where you're supposed to be. And you deliberately disobey a truth that is fundamental to a child of God. And that could be so many things. I'm not talking about adultery. You know you shouldn't. You know, I know this, not mine. I don't go there. I don't look there. I don't talk there. I don't be there. That's not my business. I am moving on. David should have went to bed. David knew he shouldn't touch it. We knew we shouldn't touch it. We knew we shouldn't go there. We knew it was wrong. See, and that's the thing. His mercy is more. Yeah, but I touched it. Yeah, but his grace is sufficient. Yeah, but I did it. Yeah, but his grace is so much. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. There's consequences. Here's the thing. You keep reading. You keep reading. You see the next part. You see the next little bit. The next little bit, the very next verse, David sent messengers and took her. How many times have we been where we shouldn't have been? We should not have, we ought not have, we knew better, but we did it anyway. We took it. We took part in it. We ran with the crowd. We ran with everybody else. We did what everyone else was doing. Even though we knew we shouldn't. You know the rest of the story. And let me say this. How far we will go when that flesh gets going. How irrational we can be when that flesh gets to going. Look at verse 14. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to the hand of Uriah. And Uriah, think about it. David wrote the letter and put it in Uriah's hand. He didn't think, well, you know what? Uriah could open this letter and find out the truth. Guys, when we're playing with sin and when we're going there and we're so caught up in it and we're just so blinded. We don't care what people may think. We don't care who it hurts. It's always, I can remember sitting at Excel, I can remember sitting at Liberty Grove, I can remember standing in all the churches I've ever been in, and this right here, this, I've probably done it here, this piece of the text right here, thinking that here Uriah is carrying from the king a handwritten note, probably thinking to himself, I am carrying a message from the king to the leader of the army. Wow. I'm somebody. You know the text before it. The guys were out fighting. He wouldn't go into his wife. The guys were out fighting. He wouldn't go home and be with her. The guys were out fighting and he felt bad to not be with them. Uriah was a good guy. And here he is running to Joab. I have a letter to you from the king. And he probably went back and got in the front of the line and says, wow, guys, let me tell you what happened to me. Little did he know what the letter said. But when we're engulfed, when we allow ourselves to drift, when we allow ourselves to fall away, when we allow ourselves to get outside of the will of God, we are capable of some really horrible things. David didn't care. David was blind. David didn't care. He didn't. Uriah, take this Joab. You're fixing to die. I want you out of the way. That's all it said. Look what the letter says. He had written a letter, verse 15, that says, place Uriah in the front line of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down to die. That was that letter that dude took to Joab. That's what the letter said. That's what David did. That's what David did. Premeditated. How many times is our sin premeditated? It's not all accidental. It's not all, well, I couldn't help it. They made me do it. No, so often our sin looks just like that. It's premeditated. It don't care who it hurts. It's all about me. It's selfish. It's fleshly. It's self-centered. I don't care if everybody else around me dies because at this moment I am the center of the world. We know what happens. Uriah dies. Keep on over in chapter 12. The baby dies. Nathan comes to him and says, you're the man. David hears about it and he's like, I'd kill him through this parable. And Uriah, read chapter 12 if you've never read it before. Guys, every single one of us have done foolish things just like that, and we see that in our lives. And you come into churches like this, and you hear messages, and you hear me weekly, and you hear your Sunday school class, and you read your devotion weekly, and you hear God's grace, and you hear God's mercy, and you hear how Christ died on the cross for everything, and we're thinking to ourselves, yeah, but I sent a man to the front line to die. I premeditated it. To get what I wanted, I hurt others. To be the center of the world, I didn't care what it took, and I had people murdered. At the moment, I didn't care what the consequences are. And here's the deal. The enemy sees it. The enemy knows it. And the enemy reminds us that, guess what? You messed up. You messed up. He's confronted with his sin. He's confronted with his sin over in from Wednesday night. There's no temptation that's overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also so that you'll be able to endure it. Every one of us, there's not one of us that's not, you can't say there's no way that I would never be put in that situation, because the Bible says, let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. Every single one of us are capable of the most heinous. Every single one of us are capable of the David and Bathsheba moment. Every single one of us are capable. Every single one of us are capable of being Moses and giving God every excuse why not send somebody else. Every single one of us are the Peters denying God. Every single one of us, the list goes on and on and on. But here's the deal, if you're a Christian, God's not finished with you. If you're a Christian, God's not done with you. You're not disqualified. It's just, it don't go away. We can't make it go away. But we got to keep going. Look at Psalm 51. What do we do? What do we do? What do you do? What do you do? Brother Shannon, I've messed up. All I see is my sin. I hear the songs, and they're great songs, and I hear the words, but I can't get beyond it. I hear the words, and I cannot get beyond what I've done. I've messed up. There's no way God can use me. There's no way God can overlook what I've done. I've hurt people. I've hurt lots of people. I have hurt my family. I've hurt those closest to me. I am messed up. There's no way. I am disqualified. No, you're not. Bible says that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What did David do? Psalm 51 is what David did. Psalm 51 is his psalm of repentance over this very act. You know, when we repent, God forgives. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, he removes our sin. He remembers it no more. He no longer looks at us as the sinner. God made him who knew no sin to be sin. He looks at his son. His son died on the cross. Listen right now. If you're a Christian, your sins are paid. If you're a Christian, then your sin was put on Christ there on Calvary, and it was nailed to him, and he died for the sin that we've all committed. So we're not responsible for that. That's not held over our head anymore. We're free. Even though we may have done the foolish things, even though it happens to every single one of us, before you go there, Romans 6, do we sin? Do we sin since we know that we have grace and mercy? Do we just have a free reign to go live ever how we want to? No, do we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We don't. We don't. We want to please him with all aspects. We want to honor him. We want to bring him glory. We want our lives to matter. Look at Psalm 51. What did David do? Church, some of you in this room may need to just go here. If there's any prayer, if there's any psalm I've read, more than Psalm 23 by far. I memorized it when I was a kid, and I'm like, that's awesome and great and all that, but this one right here has been almost a life verse. Why? Because this is one I live all the time. Because it's against you and you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight. Look at Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. This is what David prayed. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Look at this, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Notice that statement. He killed Uriah, but the sin was against God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, but it was against God that he had sinned. It was his sin that brought death on that son, but it was against God that he had sinned. Guys, our sin is against God. He's the only one worthy. We sin against man who's made in his image, but we're sinning against God. Against you and you only have I done this evil. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity in my sin, and in sin my mother conceived me. Verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Look at verse 8. You know, when we sin, there's no joy. When we mess up, it breaks our hearts. Because we know it breaks His. It says, make me to hear joy of gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Listen to what he says. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I'll teach transgressions your ways, and sinners will be converted. Notice this. Notice how he confesses the sin. Y'all, it's okay to call it out. It's best to call it out. Don't sit there and beat around the bush with God. Tell him what it is. Lord, I did X. God, I said X. I went X. I done X. I've done whatever X is, whatever it is, whatever it is that the enemy is hanging over you saying, there's no way you can ever because you did X. David said right here, he says, deliver me from blood guiltiness. God, I killed somebody. I'm guilty. Be real with him. This ain't a God is great, God is good. Let us thank you for the food. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Prayer. God, I'm caught. I messed up. I sinned. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of living in rebellion. I did this, and it was against you, and I repent of it, and I know it's wrong, and I confess it. Clean me thoroughly. Clean me thoroughly. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. God, give me peace. God, use me. Then I'll teach others. Then I'll be able to teach others. You're not disqualified this morning. You're just a sinner like the rest of us. You're not disqualified to be used by God. You're just a mess up that God is molding and shaping into something beautiful in His sight and in His time and in His ways. And we're prone to drift. But when we drift, it doesn't mean God can't use you. When we do, it's not an excuse. Hey, God's going to forgive me so I can go do whatever. No, 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 you can't. But in those weak moments when we do, listen to this, in those weak moments when you do, and I do, we're sinning against God. And he sees it. It sickens him. But he died for it, and we're forgiven, and we repent, and we turn from it, and we don't just go back to it. We repent and we say, Lord God, forgive me. Against you and you only have I done this evil. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, and O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifices, otherwise I'd give it. You're not pleased in burnt offerings, sacrifices of God, or a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's what God wants. He wants us to come before Him and, Lord, I've ran around this world. I've lived these last bunch of years. I've lived a life thinking that there's no way. Lord, I'm sorry for wasting years. I'm sorry for wasting time. God, I'm sorry for thinking there's no way that you could ever use me. Lord, I repent. I repent. I did it. I did whatever. And Lord, it was against you and you alone that I did it. God, created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, cleanse me. God, put me back out there. Until we lay you here or celebrate your life, you're not done. Get back out there. The enemy's saying, yeah, but, yeah. God knows. It happens to all of us. We're in the wrong spot at the wrong time, running with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong thing, and knowing we shouldn't. Knowing better. Knowing better. And boom, it happens. Don't you wish it was just a tiny white lie? Don't you wish it was just a number two pencil or a gym clip off the teacher's desk? Don't you wish it was just that simple? But it's not. We're human. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But with the temptation, God has given you a way of escape, and that escape is faith. The enemy sits there and shows us shiny things. The enemy sits there and shows us that, hey, this will satisfy you, this will complete you, this will make you so much better. This will be the end-all, be-all, bestest of the best. And the Spirit's saying, don't do it. And you go there. And you realize it's not the end-all, be-all, bestest of the best. It makes you sick in your stomach. It makes you hide from a God you can't hide from. It makes you filthy feeling. It makes you, I can't name it all. But God is faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He already died for it. Confess it. Get up. Wipe yourself off. Get back in the game. Okay? I want you to hear something. You're not disqualified. He's not done with you. He woke you up today and He sent you in this room this morning. He's not finished with you. He's not. He knows what you did. Repent. Get back out there. He got a lot more He wants to do. Let's go do it. You're His workmanship. Created for good works. That God beforehand's already got out there. Brother Shannon, there's no way I can go in them good works because I've messed up. We all have messed up. Just go do it. Repent and go do it. Father God, we're a room of broken people. We're a room of people that with this same mouth this morning we sing of your grace and we sing of your mercy, and the very next moment we'll be tearing somebody down that was made in your image. God, we're the same people, God, that we know what we should look at with our eyes and yet we don't. We know what we should say, but we don't. We know where we should be, but we're not. We know to him who knows the right thing to do and don't do it, to him it is sin. We know, God, because you have given us your spirit that lives inside of us, that we have no excuse. God, we have no excuse. We can't say the devil made us do it. We can't say they made us do it. No, we chose. God, it could have been because we weren't where we were supposed to be. It could have been because we knew better and we just moved forward anyway. God, it could be because of so many reasons, but God, it just is. And Lord, we repent. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would forgive us. God, I don't think any of us in this room have blood guiltiness on our resume, but there are other things. Church, right now, in the quietness of this moment, you and him, call it out. You and him, be honest with the Lord. Repent right now. What is it? God, against you and you only have we did this. Dear God, against you and you only have we did this. God, create a clean heart in us. Restore, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.